All set? All righty. We are now reconvened for the admin portion of the meeting. We have a couple items on consent. Do we? Nope. No items on consent. All right. Then we'll just move into discussion. Where is that? Yeah, we've got five items for discussion. The first is Stacy's annual public comment report. Stacy, you want to walk us through all this?
Sure. And just a reminder that we launched the new application in January of 2020. So this is the first report using the new system. So there is a little bit of a disclaimer, and I'll point out some of the differences in how it tracks data. And not that I know that you guys dive into this, but if you were to go back and compare these numbers to past reports, they will no longer match. So just a disclaimer, and it's just how the system tracks the data in different categories differently. So just a disclaimer so that you know
how different is it? Like,
it's just different categories. Like, okay, where it used to put it in one category, it'll put it in a different category, and some of the data didn't transfer over correctly from the old system. And so some of the numbers the total numbers won't be quite the same.
Okay. It's not apples and oranges, though. I mean, it's generally the same.
It's generally the same, yes.
Data, okay. Yes. It's just maybe you could give an example, Steve.
Part of it is, like in the first chart, everything is separated by jurisdiction. If something wasn't assigned a jurisdiction in the old system, it won't show up on this report, and so the number won't be the same as what it was showing up for. It's kind of hard to describe. We would have had to manually go back and change those characters, which we didn't. And so it's when I looked at the numbers, though, they're close,
okay,
to what they were before.
Aren't you just using the numbers that we used in the last years for this report?
No, we had this new system run new numbers with the data that it has in it now.
Oh. Okay. Anyway. Why do we do it that way? Rather than just using the numbers we used from the last reports, and just recognizing like that's what they were then, and now we're using a
new system. Yeah, we could have. Then if you run numbers in the new system, it wouldn't match with those numbers. It's just you have to recognize we have two different systems now. So if you wanted to go into the system right now and run a number from 2019, then that would be a different number than what would show up in this report.
So I guess when we went through this, I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
But you've looked at the previous years and the numbers are pretty similar?
They're pretty close.
Okay.
They're pretty close.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And as we go forward with some years here, then that will go away. But you'd really have to dive into the system to figure out the differences, but they're there. And if Cheryl's listening, thank you so much for all your help. She's been great, and we've been doing a lot of tweaking on this, and she's been a lot of help throughout the year to make this system a lot better than the other one that we were using. So if you look at page 2, this is the general all contacts by jurisdiction that we always look at. So this is really good to look at. If you look for 2020, the only one difference that I see that really sticks out, if you look at the citing number, 204, and those were mostly Northern Divide Wind Project comments. In the old system, and actually this system, till I corrected it, before, if it was put in there under the company, it would put it up in the electric utility jurisdiction. And just to give a better sense of how many of those are actually siting related, those are now tracked in the siting category. So that's why that one looks all goofy. In the past, we barely had any. And I think it's a more accurate way to look at it.
So 162 from Northern Divide.
Yep.
So there'd still be 42 without that, which is significantly higher than the other years. Did you say where the balance?
They'd probably be other wind ones. And we can look.
They're wind related. I mean, we don't have to get into specifics, but generally it's the wind developments driving all of it.
Yep. It looks like, different wind related ones, general comments about wind farms. There was some for the B. Sanderson Gas Processing Plant. There was 13 for the DAPL Emmons County Pump Station Project.
Would those have gone into common pipeline carrier?
Or yeah, it before it would have. Yeah, it would have put it either in electric utility or pipeline.
Okay.
Depending on the company and project, and now we're putting those in siting so that you guys have a better idea of what's actually related to siting cases, which I think is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Gives you a better picture.
Yeah.
Stacey, where's the breakdown on siting?
Page
8?
8.
Okay.
8 starts on page 8. Yep.
Good.
Nothing else. You'll see some of the categories up, such as auction and mining. And that's just because we're encouraging everyone to use it now. And in the past, some of those areas weren't recording their stuff. So it's not that we're getting more contacts about auctioneers necessarily, but that they're actually logging them in this system now, which we've been encouraging everyone to do.
It's interesting, I think, that the electric utility and gas utility numbers are actually smaller than 2018 when we had COVID this year and all the times where, you know, they didn't have to pay, et cetera, et cetera. You would have expected to have a lot more calls this year in the electric utility and gas utility areas.
Overall, and I don't know if it was just because people's minds were elsewhere, but overall, I felt like the calls this year were a lot slower. And I think, I don't know, people's attentions were elsewhere, other things going on. We didn't have any, besides Northern Divide, we didn't have any really, really big siting cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, any questions about just that first chart before I move on? Okay. And then the chart on page 3 just breaks down our 4 regulated utilities that we like to look at: CenturyLink, MDU, Otter Tail, and Xcel. Overall, the numbers were down. Everyone was down except MDU, and they were still right in their normal range, as you can see, for their 5-year average. So nothing concerning. And once again, I think some of it was the utility companies were not doing disconnects, so I wasn't getting disconnect complaints as much, and it was just kind of a quieter year in that respect.
Didn't they reinitiate the disconnects, though, this fall? We haven't seen an uptick in them.
Yeah, no, I haven't noticed any.
Okay, good.
I think they're doing a very good job of working with customers on payment plans. They're cognizant of what's going on, obviously. So I think they're mitigating some of the calls. I would at least.
Yeah, I haven't seen any increase in calls related to disconnects that fall. And then obviously in the dead of the winter, I think they usually stop doing them again here. But yeah, I haven't noticed anything.
Awesome.
Starting on page 4 then, this is the raw data in the system, and we're going to work on trying combining some of these categories a little more in the future, but for right now it depends on how you put it into the system. It breaks them out, and I tried to group them as much as I could, but these are all public comments sorted by the subject, by the jurisdiction. And so if you want to see what those 39 auction comments were regarding, you can see that there, and so forth through all the different jurisdictions. I don't know if there's any specific questions with that. And then starting on page 11, it just breaks down by company. So if you want to see specifically kind of, you know, what the comments regarding CenturyLink were, or MDU or Xcel or any of the other companies listed, it breaks it down by company. And then on page 14 starts the just a list of the referrals. And once again, referrals are any call that we receive that we referred off to a different place or a different company or a different state agency or wherever.
Do those referrals usually go to you, Stacy? Like you get the calls first and then refer?
Yeah, I get a lot of them, not all of them. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is this category? This is things we referred back to the companies or that
yep.
referred to us?
No, we referred to somebody else. We received the question about, you know, access to over-the-air channels in correctional facilities, and we either just tell if it's completely non-jurisdictional and we don't even know where to send them, we just explain that. But if we can refer them to somebody else, then we refer them to somebody else. But these are the calls that we received and then referred to somebody else.
Who do we refer abandoned or closed mines to?
I don't know. I'd have to actually look in the system and see what they did with it. It might be they just gave them information, too, and put it under that category.
Okay. Looks good, Stacy.
Any questions? No. We do usually do a news release with this, so I'll put a draft together and circulate it so we can get that out afterwards. And then I continue to do the monthly reports for you guys, which hopefully is helpful, but... If you have any questions ever, you can always ask me. But
yeah,
I think this new system gives us a lot more flexibility to be able to see exactly what we're receiving. So once again, very thankful to Cheryl for all of her work on that.
And I really like that we do these reports. You know, otherwise this stuff just goes by, and I'm not even aware. You know, and this puts in context.
Well, yeah.
Things that are impacting people out there enough that they call. So.
Yep, yep. And if you have any other questions that when you get a chance to look more detailed through it, just let me know.
Great job, Stacy.
Okay, thank
you. Good report. It's good to keep tabs on all that stuff on a regular basis. So, and thanks for taking all the calls and the referrals from people calling the Public Service Commission. They think we do other things than we do.
Hopefully the grain calls will be less in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can actually maybe think about taking that out of our options now, I'm thinking. But, yeah, yeah, so I can maybe talk
All right.
to Cheryl about that.
Good. All right, thank you, Stacy. On to number two, jurisdictional determination for NSP gas, and that's you, Brian.
So NSP had asked us for a jurisdictional determination. There is a pipeline that they're putting in, and basically what it is it's to increase the volume of downstream in their distribution system so when a cold weather event like we've just had happens that they have the volume to supply all their customers. They wanted us to take a look at it to make sure that it didn't fit within siting requirements as either a transmission or a gathering line, and it doesn't seem to fit either one of those. So I drafted the letter to state that it is not jurisdictional and they don't need to apply for siting on it.
Are you asking for approval of this or just kind of informing us?
Is
it even sent?
I guess approval would be great. Yeah, that would be what we'd need.
Usually the commission just gives direction to the staff.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pat, you agree with this, obviously. Okay. Any questions for Brian?
Do you want to know about like little things like kind of typos, or are you just about the overall?
If there's something that I missed, and there usually is, let me know, and I'll fix it before I send it.
Because I do have several, but
okay, yeah. If you want to just
later, or do you want them now?
Nope, we can meet up later, and I'll change it before we send it out.
But I'm fine with the point of the letter.
Any questions for Brian?
No, I communicated earlier. I'm good.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Good to go. Rail safety inspector training, Conrad. This is a Conrad and I have been over this, and I just wanted him to bring it so you guys were aware too, because they're going to be doing some cross training and just expending some money that exists in the Rails program. So there's no problem with the having the money available, but I just wanted you guys to be aware of what was going on. So Conrad can give you the high-level overview. Thanks, Conrad.
Absolutely. So as you recall, commissioners, we've been working on cross-training. Eric Miller, he will still retain a mechanical inspector designation, but we opted to also add on the hazardous materials designation as well, since he's already around these rail cars doing his mechanical inspections. It kind of is a nice fit for him to be able to do the hazmat inspection on the crude oil tank cars as well. So we've been working with FRA on his training. He's got on-the-job training that must be completed, along with fundamental classes that he'll attend, which are in Pueblo, Colorado. And so what you can see based on this is the upper section. All the anticipated training for Eric to include the hazmat discipline, along with his recurrency training for his mechanical inspector certification. We just grabbed the best cost. We worked on the numbers. These are estimates. We tried to get it down to the nearest dollar, just kind of so we know where we're sitting at. FRA has been funding the state program's training and travel costs through grants. You can see that we had these are federal fiscal year grants. So we've got the federal fiscal year 19 grant, which was extended due to COVID till October 31st of 2021. In addition, we've got the federal fiscal year 20 grant, which currently has a deadline of October 31st of 21, but may be extended if funds are there. FRA has been very good about extending the funding if we have additional money left, because they would rather see it spent. So ultimately, the way the grants operate is that we will be paying out of pocket for these trips anyway, and then we seek reimbursement from FRA for them. So it's not that they're going to be cutting the checks on that. We cover that through our travel process, through our P cards, and our state agreements with for travel, and then we will seek reimbursement from FRA for that.
Where does the money then goes into the general fund when the reimbursement check arrives, or can we use that as an offset to our expense?
No, the money will go back to the rail safety budget, which that's appropriated through the department as a special line item through Department of Transportation.
So it does not go to the general fund. It in effect, it does help cover the expense that we had on our end.
Correct. Yep. It's designed to cover that, and then it would go back to the rail safety budget. And what I'm just looking at doing is the best way to balance our grant that we have, along with the additional remaining budget that we've got that will expire on June 30th, whether we spend it or not. So,
the most important. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, just to wrap up that part, you had indicated that this is Pueblo, Colorado, the training will occur?
It's where the FRA has a training.
Okay, so the question I have is, because I'm thinking of Caleb and, gas safety training, the PHMSA training, and everything's been on hold because of COVID, and they've assured you that, the training's going to happen. They might have to be masked up, I suppose, at the time. Who knows? But we should circle back on, just give me an update on the training that Caleb would go to.
Yeah, absolutely, Commissioner Crosh. I'll work with Caleb. The FRA is starting to have in-person trainings again, depending upon this where they're going to be heading to. Pueblo is a nice, very remote region as well. So
hopefully that
absolutely
starts to loosen up so we can get other individuals to training as needed. So
absolutely.
So the two key things that I wanted to make sure you guys understood, first of all, that this cross-training is starting and that we will be certifying Eric in hazmat, which is great for the program. And secondly, on the grand total, you'll see the grand total cost for the training and then what's remaining of the grants for 2019 and 2020. And then the $15,732, that'll be coming out of the legislative allocation for this program. That's state money, the 15732. But we have excess funds in there because of Carl's departure and, you know, not paying him and having openings in there. Besides the fact that we have whatever we don't spend in that line item carries over and is still in there. So from previous years, when we didn't spend everything, the first year in particular, where we didn't have people on staff right away and we accumulated some cushion in that fund. So there is money in the line item for this to cover that extra cost. It's the bottom line.
Yeah, and I forgot it was a separate fund when I asked my other question, so got it.
Okay, right. any questions for Conrad?
Good plan.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioners. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Conrad. Okay, number four is letters to MISO and SPP. So I agree with Brian and everybody's direction from earlier discussion that, you know, maybe this is a letter, maybe it's not a letter, maybe something, but I just want to, I think we could start with letters and the letters could call for whatever we want to call for, but my main point is that we communicate fairly efficiently and soon with the two RTOs, our concerns and a request for more information, whatever they may be. I would offer kind of my early takeaways that I outlined earlier at the beginning of the meeting as things that we could use in addition to some of the stuff that you guys said. But how would you guys like to proceed, if at all, in communicating and requesting information from the MISO and SPP and possibly our utilities?
I would, whether it's the utilities, you know, what did you know, what didn't you know, but for MISO and SPP in particular, and I guess part of my thought was, well, do we need letters or is that Commissioner Crisman on SPP and yourself on MISO since you're plugged into it? But I would like, I'd like to be specific in terms of how we go about this so it's not just going in the pile with the 200 other letters that they're going to get from governors up and down the Midwest, from emergency planners and emergency-related type agencies, because they're going to have stacks of these letters. Mm-hmm. You know, senators are going to send them. You know, members of Congress are going to be sending these same generalized letters. You know, it's kind of a fist pound. How could this happen? So, yeah, I think I like reaching out to them with, I think we just have to narrow it down on, these are the specific pieces of information we want, so we don't just get the form letter back from them.
Yeah. I don't envision, I feel that our position within the RTOs is different than a lot of what you outlined, in that we're members and they do have to, you know, respond to us and our questions. But I agree that, you know, we also have more insight into what the issues are and a better understanding. So what we need and are asking for is going to be different and more specific. And it will demand a response. And maybe the response is we request them to come here and give us a presentation on, you know, and going through their answers or something to that effect that would facilitate more of a conversation and then a determination of what are the follow-ups to this.
I like that. I'm not even sure where at SPP we've left it. I'm not sure that staff is allowed to do that right now.
To travel.
Yeah. And I think we've seen over the last 10 months, you know, you get a little more out of it when you have people in person than virtual meetings. But I'm not sure. I even have to check into that. I can't remember where our status is. I know our meetings are still being held remotely, but I think may be able to travel or may not.
Yeah, I might say too, actually.
And I know this is the day we're meeting, but I really think our letter of telling them how frustrated we are or our requests for certain things, other than a request for a meeting, would be better drafted in a couple days when we get through this hump. And I know I learned a lot this morning of how things have played out.
Yeah.
And some of it was just on my own, going through all the updates that I've gotten and putting together the roadmap of when I got them. And so I think I would know more what I would want to put in the letter in a couple days or the beginning of next week than I do now.
Sure. I am totally comfortable with that and agree. Plus, they're too busy right now to respond to anything anyway. So it's, I mean, this is not going to get an immediate response. These are bigger issues that will demand thoughtful consideration.
You know, you'd mentioned the correspondence since I've been here, and you were getting copied on them as well. I don't think you were, because Kara knew you were already getting them. She was an absolute rock star.
Yeah.
In sending notices. As soon as they were getting sent out, she was sending them to us. I think a half a dozen anyway.
Yeah, they were good.
She was really, really good.
So why don't we, because I would take the initiative to get sort of a first draft together and around working with both Adam and Victor, get it around maybe early next week, and then you guys can look at it, and maybe we set a meeting to discuss it if we need be.
I think that's good.
Okay. All righty.
And on that topic just a little bit, I will just highlight kind of the latest, which is an hour old already now. You know, today kind of looked just as bad as yesterday, but actually sometime last evening when SPP went down to level 2, it has remained on level 2 all month. We've not gotten even to level 3, much less the actual reductions in generation. And one of the big differences here is, and I mean, A, it's keeping things going, so I guess I'm grateful for it, but It continues to add to my overall frustration. I can't remember what our peak was yesterday when they were unable to fulfill it. It was like 44,000 megawatts, I believe. And today we peaked out at 38.5. And so
that was at nine. We've dragged right at
the economy down by over 10%. That's all things that aren't happening that are supposed to be happening.
It's kind of interesting.
Frustrated about that, but grateful that nobody's being forced into interruptions either. So
it's kind of interesting that the morning peak occurred at right around 9 a.m. and it was 500 megawatts below forecast, so that was helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's probably industrial load that's off too.
And so it is not quite as cold as it was yesterday, so that lessened it some.
Yeah. All right, so we'll work on that. Adam and Victor, if you guys have, and Jerry, if you guys have thoughts, I'll probably send you guys my thoughts, and then you guys can kind of take it from there and come up with a draft. Okay. Excellent. All right. Lastly, this was, added the last minute, because I remembered that the LIDS people has sent us some information that we could follow up with our congressionals, and I can't remember if we did anything with that or where that is, so I wanted to talk about it again.
Sure. I know shortly after that meeting you had sent out an email, I think it was to Steve and I, regarding getting a letter together. I did reach out to them. They provided me with a draft letter that it didn't really fit for us, but it did contain the information I needed. So I have a rough draft that's ready to go. If somebody wants to take it and polish it up, it should be real close.
Okay, and is it from us or is it from you? Who does it go to? Have you identified who it would go to?
I believe it would be going to either, we could address it directly to the senators, or we could whoever their head of staff is and get it to them. But I think it would be fine to just address it to them. I think it probably would come from Steve as the executive secretary.
Okay. Do you guys remember what this is? This is basically us reaching out to the senators saying, there's this holdup at FAA. Could you guys break the logjam or encourage this to happen? With everything going on, I realize this isn't probably top on their priority list, but it's also sort of a simple thing for them to do, and it'd probably be really effective. So I'd like to do it. And I don't care if the letter comes from all of us, if it comes from me as chair or Steve. I think it, and this is nothing against you, Steve, but I do think it gets a little bit more attention if we're on it.
I'm fully supportive of us all being on it. The only thing I've heard to just add, it's not just the senators. We've got an excellent congressman there, too.
Right.
Also has a good voice, and he's a go-getter.
Yeah, we should talk to Kelly as well.
The draft I have right now, the names can all be changed, and I agree. I think it should go to all three.
Brian, you want to be on it?
I'm good either way. I just, as long as the push is put forth, sure, I'm not. If you want me on it, that's
okay. So it, why don't you finish up that draft, fine tune it, get it to us, have Stacy look at it, then get it to us, and sure, then we can get it out.
Maybe my one is not necessarily to be pushing for that. We want lids to be the solution. We just want lids there as an option.
Correct. Yes.
Well, yeah, that there's just a small few steps that need to be done to get the FAA over the hump of approval. And so, like, let's just push the FAA to get it done. So it's an option in the mix. Okay, very good. Thank you, Brian. Any other discussion items that people wanted to add? Okay, seeing none, we'll go into scheduling. I think we'll delay that scheduling of the Petroleum Council. I haven't had a chance to reach out to Ron for new dates, so we'll kick that to the next meeting and take that up then. So number two, work session on Northern States Power Company electric rate increase, kind of the staff and commission advisory work session. Do we have any dates that you have in mind, Pat?
We haven't chosen any dates, but we have a request that it be as soon as possible, that advocacy staff would like to hear from us, from the commissioners and staff, advisory staff, earlier on so that they can develop the issues with the company.
Okay. Now, I had a question on this because I thought it was in discussing with Jack after the last one we had, there was some precedent that these happened after the public input sessions in the past, because then we would have heard from the public at least what the public is interested in, and then we could take that to color our thoughts on what we want to, you know, highlight. Is that possible to do that, or is that too late? That's March 4th, I think.
It's not that, if issues or concerns come up at the public input, those can be added to the list. But I think if we give them the things that commissioners are interested in and advisory staff, they can get started on those right away.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I thought it might be helpful to hear for us to hear from the public on what to get us thinking about what might be of interest. So, but what I hear you, I think you're saying is we want to do it sooner than that, than March 4th.
Advocacy staff would appreciate it. If okay. The sooner the better.
How about, yeah.
Go ahead, Brian. You have ideas?
What about next Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday's the book club.
Well, that's why I'm picking Wednesday, because I thought, you know, maybe before the book club so we can end on a high note.
The book club is only during the noon hour. We are very efficient in the book club.
I like to set the whole day aside to just
ponder the book. Oh, good job. Look forward to your insights.
What's the book?
Atomic Habits. It's very good. 11 o'clock on Wednesday, the 24th.
Well, we need more than an hour. Doesn't seem like a lot of
Didn't we? How long did we have the last time? Or should we do it during the afternoon when there's going to be floor session probably?
It's going to be some fun times to be watching it because, you know, that's probably the second to the last day.
Okay. Yeah, all the big stuff will be happening.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about hearings. So 10:30?
I've never equated watching the legislature with fun.
Fun stuff. Randy's got his popcorn ready to go. How about 10:30?
Important. Maybe not important. I'll just leave.
Here we go.
10:30, I think. Yeah, that's fine.
Does that work for you, Randy?
Yep.
No? You don't like that date?
Well,
you don't want to do it because everything's going on that day?
But I can. We can't put everything off.
Well, they won't go into the, what time do they start the floor session?
Oh, that day they would start
typically?
At 8 in the morning.
Yeah, it could be all day.
They go in.
Oh.
Something comes up. They don't get the votes, that, like a budget that has to pass, and a committee gets sent down to work on it. But I'm thinking this is more us and our staff, so if we set it at 10:30 and decide that day we want to delay it till 1, we can.
Right? We could. Yep.
So I guess I don't know what part of the day I'd like to say, but whatever you want to set it is fine.
All right. Let's say 10:30 and we can adjust according to legislative calendar on the 24th. All right. And the hearing date, Nodak Electric versus Otter Tail Power, Brian.
So after we spent our time last time setting dates, that was shot down right after I sent out the email with the dates. It didn't work for one of the parties at all. So dates I have moving forward here would be April 16th and then alternatively, April 29th and April 30th.
Wow. So April, you said 16th?
16th, the 29th, and the 30th are the available dates that I have that works for everybody.
Any of them work for me?
Well, the 28th and 29th are, again, the same thing as we were talking about in the last thing, except for the whole session. And we can very likely wind up needing to be down there talking to some people to help them understand the impacts of things.
That late? 28th and 29th of April?
I don't know. I haven't looked at a calendar of where 80 days would end.
28.
Oh, jeez.
Well, so then, and let's they're going to be very much trying to be done before 80, so that
we should be safe with the 28th. That would
be a portion.
If we went on the 28th, that would be, they would have one day in reserve, which they're going to want.
Yeah.
And if we went on the 29th, they should be done then.
Yeah, they should be done.
Those are very good days.
Okay. But those work for me.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, I'm showing the 29th as an OMS executive committee.
Yeah.
An issue?
Given recent events?
I think it'll be canceled. It usually is canceled. That's just the executive committee, not the full board.
Okay.
So if worst case scenario, we just have to take a short break on the second day. Where did those dates come from, Brian?
That came from both Nodak and Otter Tail.
Okay.
Was the 16th that day?
Well, let's see. That's a Friday. That works for me.
Works for me.
Trying to remember, how do we wind up at the end? Do we have much to do on those legislative discussion days? We don't really, there shouldn't be more testimony for us to give.
That's easy to move if we have to, though.
Well, we don't have calendars until Thursday night, so it really has to be on Fridays. But I don't think there's much for us to do, so that probably is a good day.
Conference committees, if they happen.
Yeah, but I say we go with it, and we'll just have to, if there has to be a break taken or somebody sneaks out for a bit.
Are we needing options here, or are these here, and we just have to pick one?
These are here, and we pick one, and it should we should be good to go and issue. Yeah.
It should only be one day, too.
Well, I still think the legislative discussion on the Friday, the 16th, is easy to move to later in the day.
It could be later in the day. It also could be Monday if we needed to.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm okay with the
16th.
April 16th.
I will let everybody know.
8:30. All right.
You know, kind of a just an overarching question. You knew the dates wouldn't, you know, they fell through right away, and we've had other things. We can schedule via email, can't we? And yeah. Scheduling, et cetera.
We can.
So, but if, and this wasn't, you know, the dates you had could wait until now, but if it's ever a pinch, just keep, you know, to keep that in mind. That.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? We're adjourned. Thanks, guys.